My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, welcome in. Big Bad Morning Show. Rob Long's off today. Ed's on medical leave. I don't know if it's the duo that you deserve, but it's the duo you're going to get. Jeremy Kahn and Ryan Ripken up early this morning, so happy to see you, man. How you feeling?
You know what? I'm feeling great. I think it was a lot earlier than I was anticipating. You know, I set the alarm. Body didn't want to get up, but I got to spend time with you and Joe today. It is great.
Yeah, the first thing Ryan said to me is like, where do you want me to sit? And I just looked at him and said, on my lap, of course.
I should have known better now.
But it's awesome, man. I'm looking forward to today talking some football, talking some baseball, of course, and getting in a whole bunch of other stuff. But, you know, one of the things you and I were discussing beforehand is this stretch run that the Orioles are going to have. And I know we're going to talk a ton about it, but you know, all the things coming up. And one of the things you were bringing up was about defense. And I don't know if you want to dive into this right now because we got more later. But the point is, it's early. But, you know, we were talking about how bad the defense has been. But in your opinion, how much better does it get if Mountcastle and Westbrook come back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I was going to say, I mean, we could talk about this for 7-8 hours. We can clear the whole day if we want, but we don't have that much time. But honestly, a lot of topics to discuss. But Jeremy, one thing I honestly really sat down and looked at is I know pitching and hitting are going to come and go, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the reality. But when was it okay to go, you know what? Defense, if it's okay, it's not a problem. And that's the one thing that has to be constant. And maybe I'll save it for the numbers, but if you're going to go back over the last six champions, spoiler alert, Jeremy, none of them finish outside the top 10. So the Orioles right now are sitting at 14th. They were at 17th. Defense matters. Maybe I'll save the rant for later.
Yeah. We got plenty of time to get into it. Just, it's funny because we were discussing it, and then all of a sudden I heard the music. I was like, well, now it's time to go on. Typically in our first segment, we talk about last night. I'll tell you what I did. I got home to watch some football a little bit, but yesterday was my birthday. You know, I hate birthdays, but
happy birthday! Whoa, thanks, man. Happy birthday!
Turned 65 again. So as someone said, you look 65 even though you're 45, but. All those things. My wife took me to Fogo, so I just got the meat sweats last night, and it felt great. So
was the card on green the entire time? Did you ever shut it off?
I told my wife, because I was trying to make room for dessert, because you have to make room for that chocolate lava cake, that molten cake that they make. But, you know, when we were there, it's funny because she's never used to me flipping the card, because it's green, and you know, when it comes over, says, put it on the plate. Like, the lady's like, sir, would you like a clean plate? And I said, no, I'm a heathen. Just throw it on top of that. I'll eat whatever's on there. But we had a good time. It was nice to get out. And then when we got back home, it's funny. My wife, it was perfect because we went to dinner at 5. My wife fell asleep around 8. I had football to myself for as long as I wanted until I finally fell asleep. But that was a pretty good game last night.
Yeah, it turned out to be a good game. And honestly, it sounds like a good meal. Now I'm getting hungrier by the minute. I was trying to hold off. And now I'm just remembering, I have some experiences at Fogo. Oh, mostly good.
Yeah.
Mostly good. But happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
You know, you don't look a day over 28.
Yeah. In dog years, I think. But yeah, man, look, it's nice to have you in here. And I know we're going to get into a lot of different things. But, you know, just talking about last night, I was watching the highlights of Jason Kelce. Did you see him dancing?
Oh, of course.
I feel like that guy's my spirit animal. And, you know, even when you go back to him wearing that luchador mask and dancing on stage, I don't know what dances he was doing. It was to the beat. I'll say that much. But God, is he fun.
I don't think there's a more entertaining player that's just retired right now that has so much energy around. I don't know anyone that doesn't like Jason. I know people feel certain ways about Travis, but everyone just is revolving around that guy. How do you not want to have a good time with him? You feel like that's a guy you go out and get a drink with. You feel like you can be in any situation.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, you're just going to have a great time. And also, for him, he got to go back and that's a different side. I could sense for him that was strange seeing his team play, and was heck of a game. That was one thing. I didn't realize how early it was getting up to talk about it, but it turned out to be a thriller, quite frankly.
Yeah, did you have the panic sleep last night where you know you got to get up early?
Yeah.
It's always the first time in when you're doing anything and you get that panic sleep. It's like, oh, I can't miss this. I can't miss this. I even woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. I wake up multiple times a night. I got a prostate the size of a grapefruit. So getting up to go to the bathroom or just getting up because I can't sleep. So it happened multiple times. I think I woke up at midnight, 2, 3, and then 4. And then I woke up and I heard my wife, she flipped the TV on because she woke back up. She works an overnight shift. And I heard the TV, so I'm look up and I'm going, what time is it? She goes, it's 4:15. I was like, son of a bitch. Because I was finally just getting into that comfort where it's like, oh, this sleep's going to be good. But hey, look, it was a good time watching football. I hit last night on the Falcons, and I called the Drake London over receptions, which I think he just went over with that last touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. He ruined a lot of fantasy nights, especially mine. Oh. I was up 6.4 points, and you get a point for the catch, 6 for the touchdown.
Yep.
Lost by under a point there. Oh, but you know what? I was looking at this, Jeremy. I'm going, you know what? I need to go to bed. I need to go to bed, but I'm anxious. And then, you know what? I'll just watch one more play. I'll watch one more drive. I'll wake up. And then all of a sudden, of course, when Saquon drops the ball there, well, I'm definitely not going to sleep. So did you have the Falcons at 5.5 last night?
Yeah. So, like, all right, the way I look at things, and I tell people this all the time, I'm a contrarian by nature, meaning if the public's going to be going one way, I'm usually going to be on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I like to see where the money's going. Fact of the matter is, this weekend, I didn't get all of them right. Actually, in my top plays, I didn't fare well at all, because I had the Titans as my top overall play, and they blew that game. I had the Giants as one of my favorite plays, and their kicker gets hurt in the first quarter. If they have a kicker, they win the game easily.
Easily.
Because they would have been kicking their extra points instead of going for two, and at the end of the game, they run the clock down, kick the field goal, and win it. I mean, you think they kick the field goal and win it. They were in a great spot. And then the other game I had was the Lions, who I've never seen. And I'm not trying to be sour grapes on your picks. You know, like, it's, oh, I should have won this, should have won that. The Lions ran 40-some more plays than the Buccaneers, and on top of it, they were 1-for-7 in the red zone. They had no business losing the game. I'm not telling you they should have covered, but they definitely should have won. But again, it's football, and then, you know, I say it all the time, it's baseball. Sometimes Reed Detmers last night just killed the Dodgers and another good team, and then he comes out and faces the White Sox, and he looks like trash. I mean, sports are... This is why we love it, because you don't know what's going to happen all the time.
Yeah, aren't sports fun? Aren't they fun? Aren't we supposed to know? It's supposed to be predictable, right, Jeremy? You're supposed to know last night that Kirk Cousins and the Falcons offense is going to have trouble really moving it the entire night. Both offenses kind of feel stuck in the mud. And then, of course, the most dependable player on the Eagles offense outside of Jalen Hurts is Saquon Barkley. Oh, he's not going to drop a pass that he catches 99% of the time, and no timeouts left for the Falcons, and Captain Kirk leads a drive, and in an instant, they win the game, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, the whole thing is, it's crazy how it breaks down sometimes. The ball bounces funny. You know, that's what I talk about it all the time, and something you can speak to is pitching. Mm. You get ahead of a count, and now you kind of control what you want to do. You've got to get the batter guessing on what's coming next. You get behind. A lot of times you can sit on a pitch, the one that you want, according to where it's going to go, or at least look, what, inner half, outer half, mm-hmm. where you think it's going to be. And I think, like, so many little things can change a game, but more times than not, the reason about being a contrarian is that the public's wrong more than they're right. And then last night was one of those games where, you know, from a gambling standpoint, 83% of the public's betting on the Eagles, and it was at 6, and then it goes to 5.5. The line should have went to 6.5 and then possibly 7, not the other way, which to me means sharp money's coming in on the other side, so the line goes down. And then so when you're offsetting it, because Vegas wants 50% on each side because then they can't lose. They just collect the VIG or the juice, whatever you want to call it. So last night was interesting, and that's why I was all over the Falcons. There's not really a lot of breakdown of the matchups and everything. The thing that does concern me, though, is that the rumors came out last night, or at least the report, that Kirk Cousins still isn't 100%, which we can kind of see.
Yeah.
But he did not look good up until late in that game.
Yeah, it felt like the mobility there, and for Achilles injuries in general, right? And I've seen a lot of guys and know a lot of former teammates or even current players where, as we know, that's an injury where you need to be explosive. Now, Kirk Cousins doesn't need to be explosive, but he's got to be able to feel like he can step into, and even on some of those outside handoffs, feel like he can move. And at some of those moments, you felt like he was a little bit stiff.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's the right word to describe it, but I'll tell you what, when he needed to turn it on right at the end, he certainly did. And maybe it's like when you're least thinking about it, right? You got no timeouts. You know you got to move quickly. And I know the Eagles were kind of, maybe went too much prevent there, but you kind of let your body and your natural skills do what they're supposed to do. I wonder if Kirk's just also worried a little bit. You know, in the back of his mind, he doesn't want to get hurt again, and he's got to get over that sensation.
So the other thing with that too is, like Kirk Cousins said, he feels comfortable in the pocket, but he doesn't feel comfortable. I don't know why you would leak that out, because now I'm going to move him as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But again, we'll see if he starts to get better as the season goes along, because that was one of my concerns with Rodgers going to Tennessee, and I feel like Tennessee let him off the hook because he hadn't looked like himself.
Yeah.
And then on one of those drives, they pick up a penalty on 3rd and 18. And it was one of the strangest penalties, too, because Rodgers hit the guy's hand into his own face mask, which ultimately becomes, you know, a penalty. You can't touch the quarterback's face mask. That 15-yard penalty, he just got into rhythm after that. Bink, 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 down the field, and you're like, oh, here we go.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah.
It just takes one moment for it to change. Jeremy, can I ask you then, because the line was high, or you know, you thought it could have gone higher for the in their favor for the Falcons, but no A.J. Brown either.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that, look, it's a team, and they still got Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley. They got a good offensive line, but A.J. Brown's a dude, you know, so were you shocked then that didn't change?
Well, I think because everybody saw the Falcons in week one. Like, I always call week two in the NFL and week two in college football overreaction week, because, and you saw it this week, like, you know, the Buccaneers and the Saints are undefeated right now. Who would have thought that coming in, especially, I mean, you couldn't even imagine what the Saints had done. And then you start looking at some of the other top teams, all the teams we expected to be in the playoffs. How many of them are 2-0? You know, we've seen a couple of losses. The Bills are 2-0. You know, you start looking at the Ravens are 0-2. Cincinnati's 0-2. All these things you didn't think could happen. And maybe there is more parity/mediocrity in the league. But, you know, I beat up Harbaugh yesterday for the next 15 games thing. But a lot of that's going to matter for these teams to decide whether or not you're even getting in, or if you're playing at home, or if you're staying at home, you know?
Yeah, I mean, winning ugly is winning no matter what, you know, and I think that's the part of it. Like Kansas City, when they played the Bengals, did they look good? No. Did Patrick Mahomes look good? No. But did they win? Did they have a win at the end of the game? No matter how you feel that the officiating wasn't a penalty, whatever it is, everyone in Baltimore is happy the Chiefs beat the Bengals.
Yeah.
But perspective, you have to win those games, and because that's not going to change. They got two wins, and for Baltimore, like a team, they got zero.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot of Ravens this hour, talk about Stephen A. Smith's comments, Ben Cleveland at 6:30. We're going to get into that a little bit. But up next, is this the most panic we've seen from the Ravens fan base during the Lamar Jackson era? We're going to talk about that. Ryan Ripken, myself, 410-583-1057, right here on The Fan.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, zero down and no interest or payments for 2 years. Schedule an estimate now at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
The NFL season is a race, and we've got to continue to try to improve as much as we can. And I think sometimes, you know, your improvement shows up, and sometimes it doesn't. So we've got to keep pounding the rock. And the rock is going to crack, you know, but that's our job, to keep pounding, not get discouraged.
There you go. That's John Harbaugh talking about what they have to do. The question we asked before we stepped out was, this the most panic that you've seen from the Ravens fan base? Jeremy Kahn, Ryan Ripken here, Ed Norris and Rob Long are off this week. So, Ryan, a couple of things there when you look at it, because, and Joe, you can chime in too, because I think there was some panic set in the injuries the year that Lamar had. Remember the old poop gate coming out of Cleveland on Monday night? all those things. But like, it's kind of hard to judge it because I think panic later in the season is a lot different than panic early in the season. The fact that you're 0-2 and now you're heading to Dallas and they're coming off a horrific loss, you're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Ravens are still a good team. They should have won that game on Sunday. You know, we can sit here and I think there was like a 90-some percent chance that they're winning that game up until they weren't, obviously. And then you look back at some of the things that happened, the false starts, the goofiness, the penalties. This is something I haven't seen from a Ravens team in a long time is all these penalties. But what do you think? Is this the most panic you've seen from a fan base?
Yeah, I was just trying to go through that in my head, you know, leading up to today. This definitely feels like the most panic recently, given what the team was coming off of, right? You know, you felt like you're on the doorstep. You felt like you should have been in the Super Bowl last year. And then you felt like you were going to be ready for the Chiefs. And that was a good game on the road. Honestly, I didn't expect them to go into Kansas City and win, but you felt like they were capable. This one, it just felt like, all right, under no circumstances, this game going to end in a loss for Baltimore. I think that was the part of it. And it's football. These are athletes out there. I mean, you just saw what, and they're prideful in their work. But the thing was, I think regardless of it, it just didn't seem like it until the fourth quarter that Baltimore ever was going to lose. And I think that's what set in for fans.
Yeah, one of the weird things I saw, and I'd have to go back and look at the numbers exactly, but it was any team that's been favored by 6 points or more. Most of them have not covered, and when I say most of them, I mean all of them have not covered. And on top of it, they lost outright. And that's what we saw this week with a lot of big favorites. It almost happened to Kansas City. You know, we're looking at it could have happened Sunday night to Houston, even though they kind of, you know, did their thing and made sure it didn't. But you know, there's some times that you're looking at these games and going, oh my God, this is a cakewalk. This is one you should win. But historically speaking, the Ravens have been great in week one. They've been great with extra time. Or I shouldn't say week one, in home openers. They've been great with extra time. This is a team, you're facing an inferior opponent that had to travel to the West Coast and to the East Coast. They got here at 4 o'clock on Saturday. It's Gardner Minshew, for crying out loud. I get it, but you know, it's one of those things, as you said, these guys are athletes too, and strange things happen. We've seen Gardner Minshew light up this Ravens defense for whatever reason in back-to-back games.
Yeah, is there something about Gardner and just playing in Baltimore? Like, he feels welcome here. You know, he really sets in. Now, that game for the Colts was an ugly one last year when he was the quarterback. I wanted to preface that. And that was another thing where the Ravens had some mistakes. And that one, what you could sit there and look at that Colts game when Gardner came in and go, okay, the sloppy, taking care of the football, the safety, then the fair catch, and all of a sudden, you know, a mistake there gives the Colts an opportunity, and then they pull it off, right? Yesterday, just looking at it, though, Jeremy, he had 10-point leads, not once, but twice in the second half. Baltimore now has 10 games, I think, since 2020, where they've had 7 points or more of a lead in the fourth and lost. The only closest team is the Bears. Yeah. You know, and like that's at six. And that's a team that we've seen hasn't been a good team here over the last 4 or 5 years, or I guess longer than that. Yeah, I don't know. I look at it, just I think that's where the frustration is. Now you feel like you're behind the eight ball, and you're right. They got Dallas, Buffalo,
Cincinnati,
and Cincy.
Yeah. And it's not like none of them are getting easier. I mean, Buffalo's Sunday Night Football, and you look at Buffalo, like, I'm still wondering how they're getting it done because they don't have a lot in the passing game. Josh Allen's taking a lot of hits. But just going back to the Ravens and kind of what we were talking about with this team, it feels kind of odd, too, because if I look at the Raiders game, let's not forget the Raiders went for it on fourth down when they were down 10 and they missed. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't get the play, and then the Ravens get the ball back, and I'm going, oh, that's a colossal mistake by Antonio Pierce. It didn't matter. That's how, like, that's how dominated they got in the second half, because it's almost like, and I say this all the time, I feel like this team plays not to lose instead of to win. That doesn't mean when it's, you know, you're down to 2 minutes and the other team has no time or has a couple of timeouts, you're just going to run, make them use their timeouts and punt the ball away. I'm not saying you have to do that, but the damn penalties, man. I've talked about the Raiders being one of the most, historically, they're one of the most penalized team. some guy, I think it was a Raiders fan, chirped back at me and said, hey, they're one of the least penalized teams. Okay, we're 2 weeks into the season there, Chief. Let's settle down a little bit. But the Ravens are not like this, where you just give away free plays, you're giving away yards, or you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. You can't play behind the sticks when you're a run-heavy offense.
Yeah, and the other part, too, if you're a run-heavy offense, Jeremy, the Raiders actually won the time of possession in that game. So that's one. Penalties, you can say, all right, was there that phantom face mask call? Yeah. Did they miss that? Sure. Are you going to feel some type of way with Brandon Stevens and Devontae Adams in the end zone? Sure. But there's a lot of other plays that led up to that on both sides, and regardless of it, there were other penalties and other mistakes constantly throughout the game. You know, and the other part that I think maybe is the most troubling is the fact that you know you have Lamar Jackson, he's played Superman, and you find a way to win when you feel like you have some deficiencies. The number one priority going into the game, personally, for me was do not let Max Crosby free. And in the biggest moment of the game, honestly, was after the Raiders tied the game, and Max Crosby on first down almost goes untouched to Lamar Jackson, and it's second and 19, and all of a sudden, you're going, man. But again, I think that's the point is, I think the offensive line now, Lamar always felt like he could escape. I think that's the concern, Jeremy. The thing people are sitting there going, well, is if Lamar can't make things happen with what's happening, are we going to be in trouble? And I think that's where the panic sets in.
Well, I mean, look, we're going to get more into this. The other thing with Gardner Minshew, too, from his days in Jacksonville, Philly, Indy, people have always said that he's one of those guys that's better when it's thrust upon him. Like, hey, quarterback just got hurt. You're in the game. And then he comes out and slings it. I almost feel like when you make him one-dimensional, he gets into a rhythm. Yep. Can't run the football? Here, I get to throw it every time, and let's see what happens. And I got news for you. I think Dallas is going to be one-dimensional because they can't run the football this weekend. So we will see how it goes. All right, more Ravens talk. Again, we're going to talk about Stephen A. Smith's comments on Lamar. But up next, oh, man. Reactions to what Harbaugh had to say about Falele starting over Ben Cleveland as a guard. Want to get your thoughts on it, 410-583-1057. Ryan Ripken, Jeremy Kahn right here on the Big Bad.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning Show on the Fan. Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Kahn, Ryan Ripken today. Those other two guys are out. O-U-T. So we're going to talk some Ravens football. We've been doing it all hour. 7 o'clock, the World of Stupid comes up. Can't wait to talk to Ryan about tandem naked bike rides and things like that. But anyway, Ryan, we were talking about the whole thing that went on with Harbaugh, talking about Ben Cleveland. We saw some people online that were pulling up statistics and different things from Ben saying, look, he wasn't even given any opportunities in the preseason. This is one where you almost want to trust the staff that they know what they're doing. And I've said this before, I feel comfortable talking about every single position on the football field. The one I don't feel as comfortable about is offensive linemen because, you know, a lot of times there's rapport that goes on. You need heady guys that are really mm-hmm. smart on the line, especially your center. Sometimes it's about picking other guys up, so you almost work as a unit. But you can clearly see when one guy is struggling, and that's what it looks like with Falele. And the funniest thing is, as we're pointing to all this stuff, it's like, okay, which direction are you going to go in? Are you going to go back to Ben Cleveland? It didn't seem like that's something Harbaugh was interested in.
No, it didn't seem at all like that was going to be the plan, right? And look, I think, well, not that I think, I know in sports, at least in this case, sometimes you feel like you got to hang tough. You got to give guys the opportunity to get through it, right? You felt like if you were the one, if they're saying we've seen it in practice, we believe Daniel's going to give us the best opportunity. That's what he showed. He won the job. We're going to give him some leeway. Having said that, though, and that's the difference with baseball. You know, baseball, I'd like to give guys more runway. In football, it is limited games, especially when you don't get off to a good start, and especially when that is becoming such a glaring issue. And they faced some good pass rushers. They specifically had some talented players, Jeremy. But I think that's where that frustration, at least I get it for fans, is setting in. And you're right, I can't speak on what they're looking at, but there definitely seems to be more going on here than meets the eye.
Yeah, like when I talk to guys that played in the offensive line of the league and they start breaking down certain things, it's like I wasn't even looking at his footwork and where he's going here and what his first step is and realizing is he giving anything up or is he just not good at his job, which there's been some cases. You got some projects out there. And the Falele thing, even though PFF has been kind to him as far as grades have gone, you know, we were talking about this yesterday with Mike Preston. He's, I know what my eyes tell me. Like, he's running around chasing somebody that's chasing Lamar. It doesn't look really good. And, you know, you brought it up in the last segment about when they faced Max Crosby. Because I said this, like, you got Parsons, Garrett, by the way, which they're going to see in the upcoming mm-hmm. weeks. And TJ Watt, which they'll also see coming, you know, this year as well. Those are the three guys everyone talks about. The Bosa brothers. And I feel like Max Crosby gets left out and Aiden Hutchinson's on his way into that group list. But Crosby should not be like second fiddle to any of these guys. He is a force to be reckoned with. I mean, he's an interesting dude, don't get me wrong, but he has a motor that just doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop, and he also just doesn't come off the field very often for a guy that's supposed to be a pass rusher. Like, truly, he's one of the best all-around defensive linemen, or you want to consider him an end, outside lineman, whatever you want to consider him. The dude's just good. He's good in so many facets of the game, but you can't teach the motor that he has. But the one thing, at least, that you know going into the game, don't let him be the guy that kind of can be the moment that can shift the game. And he had that moment, unfortunately, where we just talked about last segment, came untouched through the line, first and 10, when the Ravens had an opportunity to take the lead back, and instead sets the Ravens back. And the rest is history. Vegas gets the ball back, and the Ravens lose.
Yeah. Let's throw the quote from John Harbaugh in this situation.
If Ben had earned the job at right guard, he'd be the starting right guard. I mean, you look at the tape, you know, he didn't beat out Daniel or anybody. I think Ben's a good player. I like Ben. I want Ben to take the next step. You know, he's in what year is he in, third year or fourth year? You know, Ben knows what he needs to do. If he wants playing time, he knows how he needs to play, and he knows how he needs to practice when he gets that chance. Our evaluation right now is that Daniel outplayed Ben, just facts straight up. If we thought Ben had outplayed Daniel, he'd be the starting right guard. So when I see, if I see that Ben's playing better than Daniel, then Ben will be the starting right guard, you know, and he practices every day. So it's like, just to tell all the guys, I mean, show me. And that goes, we're talking about Ben because that's the question. I love Ben. And I think Ben can be a great player. Okay, just I want to see with all the players.
Yeah, I mean, this is where we get caught up because Harbaugh's had the doghouse before where we've talked about players. It's like, hey, why isn't this guy getting in the game? He's in that proverbial doghouse. I asked Preston and a few other people, do you think that's the case? And said, basically, I haven't heard anything like that. So maybe they just thought Falele was going to be better than Cleveland. And again, it's not like you benched a Pro Bowl guard. Ben Cleveland, pretty good in the run game, questionable in the pass game is what they've said. But again, if what we've seen thus far, and then some of it's got to be put on the offense too. Even though Justice Hill had held his own against Chris Jones in week one, why is that a matchup that's happening? Mm-hmm. And I understand, like, sometimes when you have the motion of the offense is going to the left and you have somebody coming back to chip and you know that guy's not going to get there. But we're talking about some of the best players along the defensive line in the league. You can't have Chris Jones matched up with Justice Hill. You can't have, I mean, I know Crosby's moving around, so he's making it difficult, but you just can't have that happen. So I don't know. I don't know if we see more. And people keep saying, hey, you got to trade for an offensive lineman. Who's giving up an offensive lineman right now worth anything?
No, I mean, especially if you look at how fragile the position is. I mean, go ask the Rams how they feel. I mean, they felt they had a really good offensive line. And in the blink of an eye in week one, it's gone, along with the rest of their team, by the way. We're seeing what happened with Cooper Kupp and Puka. So, but to your point, I think that each coach, obviously, they're going to have their evaluation, and you want to say you keep out the play on the field, but you do have an inkling. Everyone does have, you say doghouse, and that is a thing for coaches, by the way, and I'm not speaking specifically. I don't know specifically on this case, but one thing I will say is if you're going to give a guy an opportunity and give him some runway, so if you're going to give Daniel some runway here, I can respect that. But if you are going to give him runway, you got to find ways that he cannot feel like he's on an island or there's a miscommunication. I was just reading this quote, Jeremy, about Micah Parsons was discussing how the Saints defended him. You know, and they were saying, well, they did something kind of different. They got creative. They made sure on for a certain chip, it threw me off, and then they had another plan, so it took pressure off of what they thought was a deficiency in their line. And I'm going, man, okay, so creativity there. And I think that's the part where for Ravens fans is if you're going to work with it, how do you then try to mask that issue? Because teams are exploiting it right now.
Yeah, and I have no knowledge of this, but part of me wonders, too, about this is that I feel like they know what they get out of Ben Cleveland. They've hit his ceiling, and they know what his ceiling can be. Mm-hmm. Even with Harbaugh saying, like, hey, I know he can be better. But with Falele, he was the project last year, and you want to turn him into something, so now you're working through that. I just don't think you expected to be 0-2 and have to answer questions of why this guy's not good enough to play that spot. And he hasn't been, in my opinion. So, you know, it's difficult, but it's just some of the things that we have to discuss here when it comes to Harbaugh. And again, I know we're going to play some more of his quotes. There's some things he said yesterday that I absolutely despise. When we get to the, oh my God, when he starts talking about all the things left in this season and in the challenges, like, hey, you're never going to win challenges. If you're never going to win, the only way to win at challenges is to not challenge them. That's stupid. Just challenge the ones that deserve to be challenged, and I think you'll be fine. There are plenty of coaches that have a successful record against challenges, but we'll get into that later. Up next, though, we're going to talk about Stephen A. Smith. Had some interesting comments about Lamar. I shouldn't say comments. He screamed about Lamar for a little bit, and that made him right because he was louder than everybody else on the podium there. But he blames Lamar for some of the Ravens' issues holding leads. We're going to talk about that right here on The Fan. 410-583-1057. All right, World of Stupid at the top of the hour, but now we're going to talk about Stephen A. Smith's comments on Lamar. He blames Lamar for some of the Ravens' issues holding leads. Joe, do you got that sound?
I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to put a lot of it on Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry, fellas. Isn't he the two-time league MVP? I think that's the right.
Yes, sir.
Is a two-time league MVP? I mean, absolutely. I'm being facetious. Of course, I know this. But the point is this. Two-time league MVP. You have a situation where you have a 10-point lead with 12 minutes left, and yet again, you can't hold on to it. And oh, by the way, the Baltimore Ravens, for the first time in Lamar Jackson's career, have lost three straight games. AFC Championship game, and then games 1 and 2 of this season. The man hasn't won his last three starts. When are we going to look at him? You got your bag. You got the MVP stature. You the man. Go out there and figure it out. It's really, really that simple. Now, I'm not saying that he has to do it by himself because we know better than that. But the reality is that the game was there for you to win. You had a 10-point lead in the 12th quarter, in the fourth quarter with 12 minutes left. Shea, you just finished saying right. Dak Prescott, last time you checked, he does get the ball back. You can get some touchdowns up in there, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing's applicable to Lamar Jackson. You know, you get the ball back, too, when the opposing team puts the ball in the end zone. What you going to do about it? How many fourth quarter leads are you going to lose? That's a legitimate question that I think that he needs to answer.
How long is that clip, Joe? Because he talked for, what, a minute saying nothing?
Yeah, it was a minute and 11 seconds.
It's like he literally said fourth quarter lead, 10-point fourth quarter lead, and Lamar's an MVP.
Actually cut out 30 seconds, too.
He lost three. But that's what I'm saying. This is there's no substance to anything these guys say. And I've told this story before. If you've ever been at ESPN, I worked with somebody that went on all those shows. Anita Marks, she would show me. The producers would literally send her the information of Lamar's at fault for this. The Ravens failing has nothing to do with Lamar. Take whichever one you want. You've got all the facts there. This lazy ass just comes on TV and just starts screaming about this or that. What's the difference if you've lost three games if you want to go back to last season? Of course, your season, if you made the playoffs, either ends on a Super Bowl win or a loss. And then you lost the first two games of this year. I don't know that it solely falls on Lamar, but I also, look, he does deserve some of the blame when it comes down to it. But when he's talking about Dak Prescott getting the ball back, Dak's trying to go down the field and win those games usually. If you're talking about a team that gets the ball back and they have the lead, what's their number one enemy at this point? It's a clock.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to try to work the clock. I think a lot of this falls on the coaching staff, but I'm not saying Lamar doesn't deserve any of the blame. How do you feel about what he said?
Well, I think that the quarterback is always going to get the majority of the blame in the public eye, right? And for Lamar
and
Jackson,
the credit. So if you
and the credit, exactly, right? So it goes both ways, and we know on the bigger talk shows, what's a name that really polarizes people? It's Lamar Jackson. For better or for worse, constantly. That's why his name's constantly brought up. That was why the title on First Take was saying, is Lamar to blame for the 0-2 start for the Ravens? If you watch the game, you know that that's not true because you just mentioned it, Jeremy. There's a collective as a group that you have to be able to go out and execute. That first game, Lamar made a lot of things happen against the Chiefs that they're not in the game. Now, did Lamar miss likely on a throw earlier or in the last play of the game against the Chiefs? Yes. Did he follow it up with a great throw to likely where they were just a toe away? Yeah, and by the way, all the other plays he made. But the team we mentioned, you make a lot of penalties. You put yourself behind in situations. Yes, Lamar is going to have his moments. It's not all in Lamar Jackson. And the other part, are we just going to forget the fact of, you mentioned it, only one quarterback wins each year. One team wins each year. Do you know how many quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl, Jeremy, since Lamar came into the league?
It's been, so we have what, Pat Mahomes,
there's
Tom
three,
Brady,
that's one, yep.
And who's the one I'm missing just recently? Stafford?
Yeah. Stafford. Yeah. That's it. That's the list. That is the list of quarterbacks that have actually gone on to win a Super Bowl. And one of them is the greatest of all time that's not playing. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid might go down as one of the best duos in history, but I think that's my point. Lamar's 58-21 as a starting quarterback. He has his flaws. But come on, Jeremy, that's where we're getting to. It's not all on Lamar Jackson.
See, and this is where I find it frustrating, too, because I always brought up, if you go back from, 2003 all the way on to, think about the last season they played, every Super Bowl was won by either Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, or Tom Brady, and then you had the one in there with Joe Flacco. Like, almost every single Super Bowl from the AFC side was taken up by those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every year. So how do you change that? How do you, look, sometimes guys are in a situation where, like, if you want to talk about Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, those guys in the Jordan era, I think when all said and done, we're going to talk about this Pat Mahomes era and say, man, there were some guys that really missed out because that guy was just unbelievably great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a big part. Now, one thing, if we're going to say with Lamar, until the Ravens get to a Super Bowl and win, we're going to keep hearing this narrative. That's just the reality of it. And for Patrick Mahomes, I know there's a stat out there, Jeremy, that's floating around. I think he has 17 picks that were called back because of penalties.
Yeah.
And I know that's one thing, but one thing with the Chiefs, and this is probably the knock then to the Ravens, is they find a way to win most games even when it doesn't look pretty. And I think for Baltimore, it's finding more ways like that, and I think that's why the conversation keeps rearing its ugly head, is because we keep having the same discussion, and then it keeps going back to, like we said, the quarterback, because why? That's who everyone brings the attention to for good or for bad.
All right, we're going to grab a call here real quick. One thing I want to say about the Pat Mahomes thing, too, I don't have any knowledge of this, but I bet some of that's skewed because he does a great job of the same thing Aaron Rodgers does, mm-hmm. getting to jump offside and then throwing one up.
Oh, no doubt.
And then that's obviously can fall in line with what we're talking about. Let's grab Trippy, yeah. who's in Baltimore. Hello. What's up, Trippy?
What's up, Trippy?
Hey, what's going on, Joey? I mean, I said Joey. I'm tripping. Jeremy and Ryan, what's going on with y'all, man?
How you doing?
I'm trying my best not to speak too much on the Ravens because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, BS going around. But about Stephen A. Smith, right, it's like us as fans, right, I'm going to be real with you, right, and maybe Stephen A. Smith looking at us Ravens fans, right, like we had Lamar always, like, you know what I mean, he always got us to the promised land, you know what I mean, he always get us out of trouble. And I think now it's just, you got to put it together for real, but I don't think it's all on Lamar. I'm going to be real with you, right? And I hate to say this. I really think it's John Harbaugh. I think John Harbaugh is holding us back because you got to look at this, right? He throw challenge flags when he shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Now we're losing timeouts. It's like something I don't know what's up with the Ravens staff, man. They need to go hire some new people or something, some younger people, because we basically wasting Lamar's career right now.
Well, I mean, look, you know what I mean? Hey, Trippy, appreciate the call, man. One of the things that they said, too, was – the Kyle Bowler era. Did they waste that great defense for all those years as Brian Billick was pushing that? And we saw what Kyle Bowler was, at best, a game manager. So let me grab Shiloh here real quick before we head out. Shiloh, you're in North Baltimore. What's up, man?
Good morning. Hey, look, guys, real fast. Thanks a lot for getting my call, right? Mm-hmm. Well, let me point out something to y'all real fast, right? If I looked at the numbers yesterday with both of those games, right? Mm-hmm. And I know y'all could probably pull them later on. The Ravens really outplayed both of those teams, right?
Yeah.
But here's what I want to say. I want to pick it back off of Trippie. Trippie said he don't want to talk with the Ravens. I do. John Harbaugh really has cost us a lot of games. And I want you to ask me this question real fast. Your better coaches are not going to keep making the mistakes this man has made. He's been on this team, out coach for too long, too many years. I want to call it the general manager real fast, right? Mm-hmm. This offensive line, other than our center, is atrocious, right? You got standing on the back end of his career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every team that have a pass rush, a half of a pass rush, know how to come at us, and so far they have been successful. Arthur Costa has not done nothing in my eyesight to help this offensive line when you let three guys walk. You got a filet late that just not ain't the answer. You got a forehead, you don't know what you're going to get with him. You got a standing on the back end of his career, and you don't have no other help. Ain't nobody out there willing to give you no offensive line. You've done nothing to help these guys. And real quick, mm-hmm. I'm not understanding, right? Why is it taking this management, coaches, whatever, to get these players involved? For instance, Andrews, I'm not going to really speak on that real fast, but if likely your guy, why are you waiting for the – see, everybody going to keep blaming Lamar, man.
We got, hey man, I'm sorry. We got to step out because we're running long, but I get what you're saying. But you got two tight ends that you can go to. I don't think it has to be, it's what Rob said. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Use them both. Use all these weapons. But we'll get back into it. Sorry to cut you off. We've got Orioles talk coming up all next hour, except right off the bat at the 7 o'clock hour. It's the World of Stupid. We are going to talk about that famous cult singer and how good he is. He's got the voice of an angel. Also, I mentioned it earlier. Nudist pals take naked 6-day tandem bike trip across England.
Oh?
One lady even thanked them. We talk about that next in the World of Stupid.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.